Well, good morning. I am happy to be here with you. My name is T.W. Davis. I'm the lead pastor here at High Point Fellowship, and we are starting our Lent series today. And it is called Wander, Wonder. And we're going to be talking about the Israelites wandering through the desert, through the wilderness. But while we're doing that, we're also going to be looking at the wonderings or the questions that the Israelites brought to God. Some of them are very valid questions. Some of them are ridiculous. But we're going to look at them anyway. Today we're going to be in Exodus 14. So if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bible to allow that, so you can read along with us, that would be great. I grew up in North Carolina. And I grew up in North Carolina, and where I'm from, roads are to get you somewhere. And they just happen to have houses on them. In neighborhoods, there are houses that they've put roads there specifically to put houses on them. And that's weird to me. All right? However, I live in a neighborhood. I live in Forest Oaks. Name of my street, Lollipop Lanes. You can do with that what you want. My wife didn't tell me the name of our street when we went to go look at our house because she thought I wouldn't go. But our house is, our street is unique in that, one, our neighborhood's completely confusing. But our street has cul-de-sacs on both ends. And so if you don't come to our street unless you either know someone who lives there, you live there, or you're lost. Those are your three options. And a couple years ago, I was packing up for a youth trip, and I heard a car crash, and I heard a horn continually blaring. So I walked outside to see what was going on, and a drunk driver on this morning, he was still drunk from the night before, had hit my pilot, and totaled my pilot, and he'd hit it so hard that the horn stayed on. And he backed up and continued to drive, thinking he was going to get out of our neighborhood. If you're sober, you have trouble getting out of our neighborhood. He went up and down my road, which is two cul-de-sacs, twice, with the horn blowing the entire time. So every one of my neighbors comes out to see what's going on. I called the police. We tried to stop him. He ain't stopping. He starts trying to ask us how to get out of our street. He finally sees a road he can turn on, turns off our street, but that one is also confusing. And so the cops catch him about a block from my house. And so he was not able to get out of our neighborhood and do any real damage or hit anybody. Now, if you don't know where you're going, every turn can seem like a dead end. The confusing nature and the dead ends on my street were a positive thing that day. We're going to be talking about dead ends today, and I tried my best to find a positive story about dead ends, and this is literally all I got. So my question to you is, have you found yourself at a dead end recently? I don't mean a surprising street, but a situation where you felt like you had nowhere to go. A situation where you feel trapped. You found yourself at a dead end this morning in terms of hope, in terms of a relationship, in terms of a job, in terms of a dream, in terms of a sinful habit, in terms of your anger, in terms of your finances, or a dead end in terms of your faith. So what do you do at a dead end? You give up? You go around? Do you go back? Or is there another option? And I want to see what God teaches us about dead ends when the Israelites found themselves at one. The Israelites had just left bondage of Egypt, all right? And Pharaoh had changed his mind and wanted them to come back. I need to give you context for this chapter. This is a good time to talk about God's promise to Abraham. And the promise that God gave Abraham, the promise to Abraham is that he is going to reverse the curse that came about from Adam and Eve's disobedience. Not only is God going to bless Abraham with many descendants, he's going to bring those descendants into a land of blessing. But through this man, he was going to bless all families on the earth. Now, fast forward back to the days where we're at in Exodus 14, we find that many of the descendants of Abraham are enslaved and suffering in Egypt. And from a human perspective, God's promises to Abraham seem in jeopardy. The offspring of Abraham, they're not in the land that was given to them by God. They're in Egypt. So would the curse be reversed? In Exodus, we see God being faithful to his word. This mysterious God of their ancestor Abraham, who potentially was a fading memory for the people of Israel, was now going to work through Moses to secure their freedom. And after God brought multiple judgments upon Egypt, Pharaoh relented and let the people of Abraham go. As we begin chapter 14, this is where we find them escaping through the desert of eastern Egypt. I accidentally said eastern Europe last service. Getting my geography in a weird way. But in many of the popular versions of this event, people try to make this to be a story about God not liking slavery. And it's fair to say that God is a God of liberation. But I want to look today and see that there's more behind these events than just social emancipation. As we begin 14:1, I want to see what God teaches us here about our dead ends in light of his promises. So think about this as we read these verses. When following God, dead ends are God's design. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, 'They are wandering in the land of wilderness, in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in.' Now I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am Lord." And they did so. Do you see the dead end here? These people end up encamped right up against the sea. And because they're there, they are sitting ducks. Sitting ducks for Pharaoh and his army. You ever hunted ducks before? I don't know where that term comes from. That's tough. So why? Verse 3 and 4 tells us why. Because God knew that Pharaoh would hear about their course correction and think that they were confused and that they were trapped. And when Pharaoh would come after these easy targets, God's then going to accomplish his goal of destroying Pharaoh and his army and thus be glorified as the one mightier than the mightiest empire on earth. See, this dead end was God's design. It's no fluke. It's no accident. It's not bad luck. It's not a tactical error. God had a plan for this dead end, and he's going to be glorified through it. And as we see here, God is going to make it happen. He's going to harden Pharaoh's heart to the degree that this man may be insensitive to any reason or prejudice or restraint. This doesn't mean that Pharaoh is God's puppet here. This chapter tells us Pharaoh chose to go after the Israelites, but nevertheless, God is working behind the scenes to accomplish his sovereign purposes. This morning, God's word wants to assure you that if you are a follower of Jesus, through the forgiveness of the cross, for those who trust in him, our dead ends are God's design. God has not made an error in leading you. And if you belong to him, there's no mistake that you can make that God can't use for his purpose in your life. He will be glorified in some way through your dead end. He is the king over all the pieces and the players in your life. How often do you view other people that way? He's the king in my life. He's the king in your life. He's the king in all these people's lives that I meet every day. People I come into contact with. Do you think about it that way? The Israelites didn't think about it that way. Next, I want to remember that when we view our dead ends as despair, we forget about God. I want to look at this, pick up this story starting in verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. They feared greatly. The people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Now for some, this assessment by the Israelites seems pretty accurate, right? They're backed up against the sea. They're surrounded by the armies of Egypt. They have made a bad move. From their point of view, taking all the things they can see into consideration, they would have been better to suffer as slaves than to be mercilessly executed as enemy combatants. But they're forgetting something. Forgetting something crucial. They stood where they stood, the whole nation, carrying the most valuable treasures of the Egyptians, and they stood in that spot because God had brought them there. It was God who loosened the clenched fist of Pharaoh. It was God who, through his unmistakable wonders, brought the most powerful civilization in the world to its knees. So why would God go through all that only to bring them out to die in the desert? The truth is, our dead ends are despair inspiring when we forget God. If we can't see God in the midst of our dead ends, we forget what he's done in our lives, how he's led us, and then we think wrong-headed things about our current struggle. How many times have you said, "Oh, it would have been better if I had only blank"? If you believe that God has gotten a hold of your life, if he's gotten a hold of your life through Jesus Christ and that God's worked in various ways to guide you and sustain you, then why would God abandon you now? Why would God bring you all the way out of the darkness of sin into the light of his love to abandon you? Why would he bring you out of slavery to sin to freedom in him, only to let you die at this dead end? We can't forget about God in our dead ends. Our dead ends should remind us that God alone is Savior. Look at how Moses reminds them of this. Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so they shall go after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and horsemen. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I've gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of clouds, moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming. coming near the other all night. I want you to notice something. They complain. They complain, and Moses doesn't say, okay, let's give this some time. I know we can figure something out. What if we take all our stuff and all these treasures and build a barge? We could get across this thing. We can do it. No. He reminds them that God and God alone is their Savior. God is the one who liberated them from slavery. He saved their backs from the whips of Pharaoh. Will he not save them now? Moses confidently says, yes, if they'll quit their grumbling and let their faith be expressed through confident silence, then they'll see God's power at work. You see, this dead end is just another reminder to them that God is their Savior. It might have been easy for them, once liberated from their bondage, now leaving with the spoils of Egypt, it might have been easy to forget that God's the one that saved them. That's exactly what we see God doing here. He's reminding them of that critical fact. If you've ever found yourself at a dead end, please see that God wants to use it to remind you that He and He alone is your Savior. He uses these moments where we come to the end of our resources and wisdom to proclaim to us. I'm going to tell you what Moses said. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. Do you hear God saying that to you this morning? Are you ready to trust Him in the dead end? I love what God tells Moses in verse 15. Why are you crying out to me? He doesn't say this, the text doesn't say this explicitly, but it appears as though Moses is pointing the people to God who are praying for God to act. And God says, what are you doing? Step out. You know what I've told you. Now go do it. Don't act all spiritual, Moses, saying, everybody, let's pray about it. Pray and then obey. When we run into those dead ends, those situations where we feel like we have nowhere left to go, we are supposed to pray, absolutely. But after we pray, we need to step out on faith and walk right towards that dead end. Not trusting in ourselves, but trusting in Jesus Christ, our only Savior. Our Savior from the consequences of sin and all the hurts and fears and doubts that this life is going to throw at us. Now I want to see that our dead ends reveal God's power, and they inspire faith. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord and the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. The Egyptians said, let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. He said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The water returned and covered their chariots and horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that had fallen to the sea, not one of them remained. The people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them for their right hand and their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord. They believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. You see what happened here? You see what God is showing us? This dead end is not really a dead end after all. God brought them to the sea, not in order to bring them to a dead end. He brought them to the sea to bring them to an opportunity. An opportunity for them to witness God's power in action. See, our dead ends can reveal God's power and inspire our faith. And as we step out into what seems like a dead end, God wants to reveal his incredible power. When we step out and stay committed to God's work or to our relationship, even though it seems like a dead end, how is God going to reveal his power? When we step out to share our faith with someone who it may seem is a dead end, but that's still our one, how might God reveal his power? When we step out to give of our schedule or our finances, and it seems to be a dead end, how might God reveal his power? Based on what we see here, the way God reveals his power is not always how we expect. We can have an idea of how God might work, but he may do something very different. You see, for those who trust in Jesus Christ, now hear me out. For those who trust in Jesus Christ, there is no real dead end. Remember, Paul wrote, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. When God does this surprising and stunning kind of work, how will you respond? The Israelites had two responses. They feared God and they believed in him. Fear and faith. You could say they honored God as God. In 1986, I was only 4 years old. I just want to point that out to those of you that like to hear that kind of stuff. In 1986, Fortune magazine called 35-year-old Michael Franzese the most powerful mafia boss in the country. And as part of La Cosa Nostra, he'd grown up in a world of power and corruption and violence. But he was thrown in prison for a tax scam. A gas tax scam. I have no idea how that works. And he was interviewed, and when he was talking about being locked up in solitary with only a Bible. He said, I spent 35 months and 13 days in prison. 29 months and 7 days of those were in that 6x8 hole, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just me and God. I didn't come to God easily. I challenged God. I didn't believe, but only God knows how many times I read that Bible. And I came out of there believing that the Bible is God's word and that Jesus is my risen Savior. And an interviewer asked him, so that prison cell was good for you? And he replied, God saved my life in that cell. What appeared like a dead end for this man actually led to life. Is God using your dead ends as opportunities to inspire faith in you? I guess my real question should be, are you aware of what he's doing and has done? For the followers of Jesus in that first century, the cross was the ultimate dead end. The man that they had given up everything for, the man who they invested all their hopes and their dreams, was now dead, branded a criminal by dying a criminal's death. But they should have known that God would not have brought them all that way just to abandon them. And when Jesus pushed back the waters of death and made a way for us, God was revealing his power and his glory, just like he'd done in Egypt 1,500 years before. Have you been inspired to believe in light of the resurrection of Jesus? Death. Death is the dead end that all of us have to come to grips with. But in Jesus, even death is not a dead end. This morning, I want you to think about what happens beyond the sea. What happens when God brings us through to the other side of what appears to be a dead end? What happens with our newly inspired faith? For the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, their path through the waters led to another covenant with God. This one was different than the one God had made with Abraham. It was not only a call to trust, but a call to action, to live out their faith through God inspiring them, through radical redemption. As we wander through this life, we wonder many questions. We have many doubts as we arrive at our dead ends. And I want you to know that in your prayer, in your praying, never limit your prayers because you think yourself sinful or you think yourself undeserving. You're not praying because of who you are. You're praying because of who God is. And when we get to the other side of our dead ends, God calls us to obedience, to service as His people. Having rescued us and revealed His power, He wants to use us to bring that same deliverance to others. So this morning, I want you to think about this. Are you ready to live and speak in such a way this week that God, who is over every dead end, the God who can bring hope to your hopelessness, are you ready to live and speak in such a way that He is made known to those around you? I pray that we are.